Hey folks, welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves tonight. I have a show for you. It is about the caravan escorts. It is about, that's how they translate it in Spanish. They
say,
yes, we're not traffickers. They say, we're not human smugglers. We are escorts. That's how it translates in Spanish. It's called acompañantes. We're not organizing the migrant caravan. They say, we're just escorting them. So I'm using their word, not out of deference, because as you know, I believe these people are human smugglers and also in some cases, human traffickers. In the cases, especially of the most vulnerable people, people that are either trafficked for sex or under violence, threat of violence or coercion, are forced either into slavery work. Many of these people are vulnerable children. I've talked about how some of the escorts that have brought this caravan include people like Pitaya Queen, trans activist, Mexican-American activist that passed herself off as a Central American refugee seeking asylum so that she could speak for the trans queer caravan and bring people to the United States. In Mexico, she was run out of the country because she was being investigated and is still being sought in Mexico for sexually trafficking children, queer little kids under the age of 18. These are the kinds of things that are actually happening, going on. Some people have a problem when we talk about it because they say we're hurting the movement. No, you're hiding human traffickers and smugglers. I'm exposing them because they do great harm. We're going to talk about it today. It needs to be said, and I am not afraid to say it. This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. I'm used to crossing these lines. I'm used to making people mad. So I'm going to tell you the truth. It's what's going on. Tonight, I'm going to focus on how migrants have been using their children, other people's children, strange children, as human shields so that they can seek asylum in the United States. Again, most of them won't be able to get it. I'll also be talking about how they're sometimes using children that are not their kids, or that they recycle the children. We talked about that in a previous show in which we had some reporting from NPR that confirmed what I've been telling you is happening to some of these kids, many of whom are unaccompanied minors. We'll also talk about how these migrant escorts slash coyotes, like the group Pueblos Sin Fronteras, are putting migrant kids and migrants at risk, endangering their lives, putting them at risk. I'll give you some examples. And how these escorts lie about their status as smugglers and try to pass themselves off as escorts, merely escorts. You will cover an Univision report many of you sent to me. Some of you sent me this. My own father called me. My own father contacted me on Mother's Day to tell me that it looked strangely odd, familiarly odd to my father, that this Univision report was covering a lot of the same people I had recently been reporting on and that I had reported on in the past, like the smugglers in the group Pueblos Sin Fronteras. Also, the Univision reporter was basically playing devil's advocate in this piece, which I'm not going to play on our show. I'm going to show some clips, but I'm not going to play their stuff because I feel like a lot of it was copied from my stuff. And I guess my viewers and listeners felt the same because many of you sent me those kinds of messages along with the video clips of this recent Univision report. If you folks will recall, when I was en route back home from my trip to Tijuana and California, to the ABS conference, when we were returning, we told you that Univision had been to the Agape shelter in addition to the San Diego Union Tribune. So this is the person that went directly after me and Oscar El Blue Ramirez were there. They interviewed the same people. That's why it seemed like deja vu if you were watching this Univision report. Those of you out there that watched it, those Mexicans that sent it to me and said, hey, Cindy, they stole your story and they put their own twist on it at Univision. Man, I mean, I had heard the nonsense that was being reported by Univision about these caravans, the mistakes, the glaring errors. Now it doesn't feel coincidental anymore. The fix is in. All of that I'm going to cover on my show, and I'm also going to be telling you where these Border Support Network activists are currently at in Arizona and New Mexico. Please share this information with anyone and everyone that needs to see it on the border. In the United States, if you have access to sending these to people that are in Border Patrol, in our military, in our intelligence communities, please get this information to them because they need to be identified and they need to be stopped. That's what needs to happen to these folks. They need to be identified and they need to be held accountable. And I hope that that is going on. I sincerely, sincerely do. But first, I want to thank all of you who have been sending me so much support, so much news clips and audio clips. I wish I could sweep up everything that I get in one day and stick it in one show, but it would take days to produce that program. And so I apologize if I haven't gotten to your material yet. That doesn't mean I won't use it at some point. Thank you for supporting our work. Duke, how can folks do all of the things and contact us?
Well, thank you for sharing the love. You know, it's really important that we have so many people interacting with us, and we really, really appreciate it. You can get hold of us in a few different ways. One is a telephone line. You can call and leave a message, a voicemail. It's 701-566-0917, 701-566-0917. You can leave a voicemail up to 3 minutes, and it's a great way to get us some info, and you just want to hear your voice. If you want to do email, Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke at kpppfm.com. You can also tweet us at media_PPP, and then go to Facebook. Of course, you're on Facebook right now, or maybe you're on YouTube. But you can go to 88.1 FM, Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project at Mexi-Can. Don't forget to go to our kpppfm.com website. I think I have all the most recent shows up on the web in audio format, video format. We take the video format and we upload those to YouTube. Go to YouTube at Duke1517 or Duke Gomez Shemp. Subscribe to our channel. I'm trying to reach 1,000 subscribers. That would help us a lot. So go to Duke1517 on YouTube. But while you're at kpppfm.com, you can just look around. You can look at the older shows. I mean, we have a wealth of information on there, and we have all the shows we've been doing. And also, since we're a nonprofit, non-commercial radio station, we are always asking people to support us financially. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to our radio station, go to kpppfm.com/donate. Look over the material and make a donation. It would really help us pay for the internet, pay for our radio station costs, the things we need to stay on the air. We're broadcasting in the Fargo-Moorhead community. We have the potential to reach nearly 200,000 people. And with the Facebook Live, we're reaching people across the country and in other countries internationally. So we're developing a following well beyond our confines of our local community. But our local community needs to hear what we're producing on the radio. So we rebroadcast these shows on the radio here on 88.1 FM. So if you get a chance, go to kpppfm.com/donate. Support our work. We'd greatly appreciate it.
Oh my goodness, I am so sorry to all of you who are unable to have a sound or get kicked out. We do get messed with a lot on social media, on Facebook especially. But that does not mean that you would be able, that you won't be able to see this and hear everything perfectly well on playback on YouTube and our other formats. Nemo, I hope, is sharing this on our other pages. The People's Press Project, Mexican Online on Facebook. I believe that you can watch it on those platforms if Nemo posts it there. And let's dive right into tonight's show because, as I told you, I've already talked about a lot of the children that have been used by the migrants in the caravan that were very, very disturbing to me. I've been observing this for a while now, beginning with the two babies that the lady that went to the border the day that they got tear gassed in November. The same lady I told you was working with Paola Mendoza of the Families Belong Together group that was working with Mark Lane, Minority Humanitarian Foundation. The same lady that was later, with the help of Al Otro Lado lawyers, brought in with her two kids for asylum. That's how she got rewarded for using her kids as human shields and running through the tear gas for the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That was her reward. And the group of activists that I just rattled off, Paola Mendoza, Families Belong Together, Mark Lane, Minority Humanitarian Foundation, and the Young Turks producer, those folks were the ones keeping Al Otro Lado lawyers. They were the ones telling people to sleep in tents in their own excrement and urine on a street with their little children. People would ask them, hey, why don't you go to the shelter where there's food, where there's roofs, where there's medical for your kids? Nope. We want to stay right here because we need to see the dream. We got to look at the wall. That's the kind of ridiculous thing that you would hear these migrants repeat, that we're keeping their kids out on the street. I don't know if you know this, but in Tijuana, they have a sewer problem. The problem is that when they get torrential rains during the rainy season, which is when these caravans arrived in Tijuana, in the cold, when they have torrential rains, the raw sewage just goes throughout the streets. It's nasty, folks. And these folks that were staying in tents on the streets, that were literally sitting in rivers of raw sewage, refused to leave. Finally, remember this, Duke?
Yep.
Alfredo Alvarez was out there filming the night that the police came to remove those remaining in the street. They have buses. They started picking up people's tents. There was a woman there with two little kids, maybe toddlers, right?
Yep.
How old? Three? Four?
Yep.
Two?
Three.
They were playing. They didn't look older than five, okay? Both of these little kids. The mom was there. She was standing around with her bags like she was going to go last. She was not going to leave. She was waiting for other activists to pick up their stuff. The cops started arresting dawdlers because they were dawdling. Mm-hmm. They were like, how does this tent go? You know, like taking their tents down. Like, I mean, I believe that a lot of them didn't ever use tents because migrants in Mexico and caravan goers typically don't have access to tents, which shows you how orchestrated all of this was. They don't even sell tents in Mexico in the stores, Duke.
Not many.
No, I mean, it's just like a very weird phenomenon. Anyway, turns out this woman, as she sees cops arresting some other people, she goes and gets herself arrested, leaves the babies standing in the street. She cared more about going and stopping the cops from arresting her buddies than her own kids. These are confusing things for a mother to see. By the way, everyone, happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And I know, you know, people have said that I am racist for talking about the differences. But no, listen, folks, I am a Mexican crossing lines. I know the poverty. I know the sacrifices that migrants have made, the majority of which have usually typically been able-bodied men, working age men. Why? Because they don't want to have to put women who most likely will get raped on the journey. Most likely will be impregnated on the journey. Most likely could be trafficked, kidnapped, or killed. Or their kids. Especially not their kids. So yes, this is very freaking bizarre. We also saw that after they managed to get all of those people out of the street, and some of them went to a warehouse called Viento y Marea, Contra Viento y Marea, there was a two-year-old in there that had liquid in her lungs, beginnings of pneumonia. The doctors were coming in there with Child Protective Services and telling this woman, they're about to take your child away from you. She refused to go to the hospital. She refused to go and get medical treatment for her daughter. You know where she ended up going when they finally convinced her to leave the warehouse that people were pooping and peeing in, that was shut down because of health code violations at the federal level? She went to Enclave Caracol. Yeah, that place me and Oscar went to. Hmm. She went to Enclave Caracol because they got a free clinic there for the migrants. Of course, they don't let reporters in to that building.
Yep.
I didn't even try. Neither did Oscar. But these folks, after our visit to Enclave Caracol, Al Otro Lado lawyer Nicole Ramos, who refused to give me an interview, who didn't want to answer my questions, said I went to Mexico to harass her. Man, these people love to make themselves out to be some kind of victims. Some kind of victims. Oh, Cindy, she's so scary, right?
Right.
Then, after I saw that baby ignored, that baby, that two-year-old with fever of 102 point something, almost 103 for days, with liquid in her lungs that the mom refused to take, I was asking myself this question a lot. I kept asking myself, would I let my child die? Would I let my child die? Would I drown my own child? And you know what? I'm reminded of the wisdom of the Bible. Do you remember the story of the two women? How King Solomon solved the mystery of whose child it was when two women came before the wisest man in the history of mankind, according to the Bible? These two women who had had children at the same time, almost, they birthed two children. One of them had rolled over her own baby at night and killed it. And she decided she would just steal the live baby of the woman that also had given birth nearby while that woman was sleeping and put her dead baby in its place. And when the other woman woke up, she and this woman were brought before King Solomon. And Solomon said, I know how to solve this problem. Split the baby in half and give half of it to one of the women and the other half to the other woman.
Yep.
And immediately the mother of the child said, give it to her. Give her the child. Give her my child. Give it. Why? Because the mom doesn't want any harm to come to her baby. First and foremost, she is going to protect her baby. Her baby, right? When you see folks repeatedly doing things like this, you got to ask yourself, are those babies their babies? And if they are their babies, are these people crazy? Why would you do this to your own child? Let me show you what I'm talking about. This is bizarre. This is just bizarre. I'm going to translate it for you. This is a Honduran woman. What you are about to see is an interview on Univision with Mr. Jorge Ramos, in which a Honduran woman who has recently, she claims, just had another baby, and she claims that her mother, the baby's grandmother, basically, her mother decided to take her toddler to the United States. She asked her, could you please lend me your child? You just had this one. I'll take this other one off your hands. And it'll have a better life in the United States. And so after a lot of soul searching, this woman, she looks very, very young, decided to let her mom take her baby. Even though she says she had misgivings. Let's go through the interview, and I'll let you listen for yourselves.
El gobierno de los Estados Unidos ha separado al menos a 2,500 niños de sus padres.
Has separated
¿Pero se imaginan a una niña
more than 2,500
solita
children.
Frente a una jueza de inmigración?
Can bueno, you imagine a little tiny girl
niña hondureña, Fernanda Dávila.
Sitting before an immigration judge?
Y se entregaron a las autoridades, pero al poco tiempo
Well, it happened to this little girl.
De 2 años,
Fernanda,
de su abuelita,
2 years old, was separated from her grandmother.
La niña está sola.
And now she is alone
Dávila,
in detention.
En Honduras y nos acompaña bien.
Her mother is in Honduras and she's with us.
Alison, muchísimas gracias por estar aquí con nosotros y déjame
Thanks
comenzar
for being
por
with us,
principio.
Alison. Let's start
tu
at the beginning.
Fernanda,
your daughter Fernanda,
con tu mamá, con
arrived
la
with
de Fernanda
her
hacia los Estados Unidos.
I need you to turn down the volume on Jorge Ramos and on these people a little bit more, because when I'm translating simultaneously, their voices being almost at the exact same level as mine makes it so that most people that are listening cannot hear it.
A finales de julio.
At the end of July,
separadas.
They were separated. How did your daughter
llega a Estados Unidos?
Arrive in the United States?
¿Cómo toman esa decisión?
How did you decide it?
Bueno, mi mamá 5 meses antes.
5 months earlier, my mother begged me to lend her my child so she could take her.
That
she would bring me in 2 months after and my other baby. I didn't want her to take her, but she told me to do this favor for her because it would be easier for her to cross with a child. When I had my baby, I had a cesarean. I couldn't take care of both of the babies. So my mother told me she would take her to give her a better future in the United States. So your mother, I'm going to need you to turn down their voices a little bit more because they're still too loud.
Okay.
And I think it makes it hard for the listeners to hear them. What happened to both of them? Migration took both of them. A day later, they were separated from each other. When my mother was in prison, the little girl was sleeping, and that's when they separated them. They didn't tell them how they would separate them or where they were going to take her. She didn't know anything about where my daughter went. Have you spoken to Fernanda? She's very little. There are descriptions that are very harsh that say that when Fernanda is in immigration court, have you been able to communicate with her on the phone? Does she understand what's happening? Yes, I speak with her Wednesday and Friday through a social worker. She doesn't understand. She's only 2. She's innocent. But she cries a lot, so she knows something. She wants to be with her mother. And where is your mother right now, the grandmother? In Atlanta, Georgia. What is the plan? What are the authorities of immigration saying, Allison? Do you fear that they will put her up for adoption in the United States? Is that your biggest fear? That was my greatest fear because they were giving me an example. The lawyers were giving an example that if she said didn't say anything or saying that she wanted to go with her mother to her family, then they could send her to an adoption center. But she already went to did already go to court, and they gave her voluntary. She's able to leave voluntarily. So does that mean they're going to send her back to you in Honduras? Yep. In 120 days, they have to return her to Honduras. Does she still remember you? Do you know does she know you're her mother? Sure. She knows I'm her mother. Well, she doesn't actually call me mother. She calls me Michelle. She says, Michelle, I want to be with Manita, her little sister, her baby sister. So your mom decides to take your daughter. Why does she do it? Do you guys believe that it's easier to cross into the United States and stay in the U.S. if you bring a child than if you come alone? That's what my mother believed. That's what she believed. And the truth is, I already knew this was going to happen. And I told her, don't do it. But she said it would be easier with a child. Are you thinking of going to the United States? Why are so many people in Honduras going to the U.S.?
Yo tengo 21 años.
I'm 21 years old. The truth is that I do not want to go to the U.S. I have never really wanted to go. It's not something I want to do. And the truth is that people decide to go because of economic issues. There's not a lot of work here. When is your daughter going to return to you, to be with you? I don't know. They said within 4 months. The attorney says that they gave the child 120 days to be returned. So they might be sending her sooner. When you found out that a lot of the kids that are being separated at the border from adults, just like what happened to your grandmother, what were you thinking? What did you think of that policy of Trump's? It's bad. It's very bad. No child deserves that. Because children are, they damage them psychologically. They damage them psychologically, and they don't deserve that. There are only 2, 3, 4 children that they need to be with their parents. You say that they get sick, huh? So, do you believe that Fernanda has already psychologically been damaged? Psychologically, yes. I haven't really noticed anything different in her, but my mom, who talks to her, says that she doesn't talk to her anymore. She doesn't talk like she used to. Thank you. Well, I have some things to say about that. What did you think of that, Duke? She's sitting there saying, these children don't deserve to have this done to them. They deserve to be with their parents. You let her go with
exactly,
your mom.
Exactly.
Knowing she even said, I knew this would happen,
yeah.
Hello? I mean, that's crazy, Duke. It's like the lady that I called back home when her daughter was kidnapped by the coyote from the Agape shelter. I interviewed her. I let you listen to the interview, folks. I was asking her questions about her daughter, and she said, my daughter told me everything's fine. Did you know about your daughter being kidnapped? Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
And you're okay with your daughter leaving in the caravan? Yeah, it's fine. I find out later from the pastor that the stepdad was molesting her. And the stepdad told the mom, either you pick her or me. And I guess we know how that choice turned out.
Exactly.
Because the little girl ended up in the caravan on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Being smuggled by a coyote that was offering sex to children, a pedo.
Yeah.
Explain to me, and you know, like, this is softball. You just saw it.
Mm-hmm.
The softball questions, the softball treatment of this woman. I would have been like, excuse me, did you report the kidnapping of your daughter by your mom, by your unscrupulous mother who wants to use your baby as a human shield to the authorities for kidnapping? No, you didn't. Like, I would have asked her some questions. How do you allow that to happen? How do you, I mean, she's a two-year-old kid, Duke.
I know.
I mean, I know there are older children that we've talked about, like Carlos, the kid that got kidnapped, and these other young ladies that I've interviewed in Tijuana. But Duke, a two-year-old, would you let your parent or anyone, grandparent, uncle, cousin, take your two-year-old baby?
No, not at all.
Not just anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In a caravan to be smuggled into the United States.
Yeah. No, of course not. And she didn't look all that concerned to me either. You know, she talked about it. Well, you know, going to get her back eventually, you know.
Do you remember in the beginning of that interview, when she said that her mother told her she didn't want to let her daughter go? She didn't want her to do that. And her mother told her, look, let me borrow her. In a couple of months, I'll bring you and the other baby to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end of the interview, he asks her, so what are your plans? Are you going to come to the United States? A lot of Hondurans seem to be doing that. Why are they doing it? She's like, oh, because of financial reasons. Also, I don't really want to go. I've never really been interested. I'm like, you made a deal and you swapped your kid.
Yep.
In exchange for your mom bringing you later.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember just saying that?
Evidently, no.
Oh, my God, Duke. Doesn't this make you mad? This kind of thing?
Definitely. And it's not just one case. It's not just one isolated person. There's all sorts of things that are going on similar to this. And it seems very rampant. And I just don't appreciate the nonchalant attitudes about it, that people don't seem that concerned that are part of it. That blows me away.
Sure. And of course, these people are screaming, you're evil, separating the children. What about the people that let their children go as collateral?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mom would do this? We've seen babies. Duke, you watched the video of the baby running away from its mother, screaming in horror because it didn't want to go in the inner tube.
It didn't want to go in the water.
Because the river was overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the river was had a really, really strong current. Because the baby had more sense than the adults. The baby was terrified. It didn't want to die.
Yep.
We saw that video, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the lady that went and got herself arrested at Viento y Marea, the lady with the baby that was inside of the Viento y Marea with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the ladies that stayed in the street. We've seen all of this. I want to show you another video. This one I want you to keep a pretty low volume on.
All right.
I'm going to kind of tell you what they said because I want to just kind of get through it. But what I really want you to see, folks, is this little tiny baby that looks like it is no more than a month old because it is so malnourished and it has chicken pox. It is absolutely naked, only in a diaper. It looks listless. It was not breathing properly and it was not eating. It was almost dying. And so the authorities in Mexico that saw this baby immediately tried to stop the man who you will see in this video is trying to take this baby. It says it's his baby. And I'm just saying he says it's his baby because I'm about to tell you that the Mexican authorities said, dude, you cannot go forward. Stay here. We'll give you a humanitarian visa. That way you can leave, travel throughout the country whenever you want. He's like, no, I got to stay with my group. I got to stay with the coyote. I got to stay with my group. You can't take this baby. This baby is going to die. It is not even breathing properly. It is listless, lifeless. It is dehydrated. It is covered in chicken pox. And it has a fever. The child is dying. We need to take this baby to a hospital. And he said, nope, I don't want to miss my ride. Check it out for yourselves, folks. Check it out for yourselves. At the beginning of this Imagen report video, you see a bunch of people crossing. Here's the little tiny baby. Look how tiny this baby is. It looks like a newborn. It is under 4 months of age. He's walking with it in the river. You can see that the baby has a rash immediately from looking at his skin. And the dad is saying, or whatever, whoever this dude is saying, yeah, he has chicken pox. And he's like, oh, no, he's doing a lot better. They washed him and they give him a little bit of water. He's doing way better now. INAMI offered them a humanitarian visa. And all they wanted in exchange was to have the authorities be allowed to take this baby to a hospital. But he wants to leave. It says the guy is saying, yeah, he wants to leave. We already told you we would give you a humanitarian visa. Listen, brother. Here, in front of human rights organizations, we're telling you, we promise you, we'll give you a humanitarian visa. You do not have to follow your group. You'll be able to travel at any time. Nobody will bother you. Look at this baby's skin, Duke. Look at this baby's poor little dehydrated, pockmarked body, bloody little body. We identified that this man had a baby. The child is not waking up anymore. It's not breathing properly. It's listless. Grupo Beta protects the human rights of migrants, and they determined this child needs to be taken to the hospital immediately. They called an ambulance. And at that moment is when the migrant dad said, no, we got to go. Somebody's waiting for us. You can get faster with a visa, humanitarian visa. You can't play with your child's life. He could die. And you have two minors with you. Are you in agreement with us? Finally, they convinced him. They took him in the ambulance. They went to the hospital, and the baby, it was taken was seen in the hospital in Ciudad Hidalgo. But the next morning, the whole family denied any more medical care from the hospital, refused any more medical care, and left the hospital against the orders and wishes of the doctors. We have to do this for our children back home because they have no food and we're their only source of hope. So you're going to take a little baby, cross the river. This is how you kill children, folks. This is how you put children at risk and kill them, folks. Because that is what is going to happen. These things are going to continue to happen. Remember that I told you these activists do not care. These escorts do not care. They want to move people. I will share the videos from that report in Univision that so many of you told me, that so many of you talked about and said, Cindy, they stole your reporting. Yes. Yes, I know. There is a special place in hell for those lazy Univision reporters that decided they would go and try to put a different spin on the story I brought you from Albergue, from the shelter Agape. For months now, I've been reporting about the children, the minors that are being kidnapped, the people that are getting drugged by the drugs by the American activists from the border support. Now, I scooped them months ago. Months ago. They're late to the game, but I'll tell you why they're really doing it. It isn't because they want to steal my work, although that is part of it. They're misinforming the public because when you watch these videos, this one is Univision video 2, who is behind the caravan. When you see these videos for yourself, you're going to notice that even though yours truly that's running a radio station out of my house in northern, the part of the state in Minnesota, I'm not even at the border. I'm not even at Tijuana. I don't have the resources and the reach of somebody like the San Diego Union Tribune reporter Wendy Fry or Univision. But I was able to show you videos of the escorts / coyotes of Pueblos Sin Fronteras that got deported back to Honduras. They got questioned by Interpol. I was able to show you videos on from their own Facebook pages of how they were crossing people illegally into the United States. I was able to bring you their posts from Facebook where they talk about their crimen and show you video clips of these people that escort the caravan, even advising people to fake family units in their videos, advising the shutdown of highways like they did in Irapuato, and hijacking vehicles by force to move the caravans faster because they didn't have buses. So they hijacked vehicles. I've showed you what these escorts really do. And this reporter from Univision couldn't find any evidence of that. So she just did a report where she talks to Irineo Mujica and she talks to all of these different people like Bartolo Fuentes and Ulises Ortiz and what's his name? Alex. Oh, no, that's Alex Cohen. ¿Cómo se llama? Darn it, kids. I forgot his name. But I'll go through all of their names here in a minute when we go through. They couldn't find any evidence of all of these people's connection to Antifa, to BAM, to Border Support Network, Evan K. Duke, to all the people that are on that leaked list of people being investigated by Interpol and Homeland Security. This Univision reporter is just like, why do you suppose you're being investigated? And he's like, I don't know. I swear on my mother. I don't have nothing to do with these people. It's like, man, this is lazy reporting, and it leaves the door open for you to believe that, oh, they're not smuggling people. There's no crime happening here. It's fine. But I'm not going to show you the whole clips of the videos from Univision because I don't think they deserve it.
Yeah.
But what I will do is show you this little clip of one of these folks. This is Univision reporting. Go ahead, Duke. Show them that clip.
Esto en San Pedro Sula y luego en Agua Caliente.
Ah, claro, no soy organizador.
I'm not an organizer.
Simplemente hablo con mis hermanos.
I'm not an activist. I just am with my brothers.
Él, por ejemplo, tiene
for example, he's 31 years old. He used to be a human rights assistant in Honduras. All of the people in his group, under his care, are women and children. He said right there, we'll stay in the street then if we have to. There are many people that follow him blindly, like this woman with her two children. She left her husband for some reason after something happened having to do with her little kids. She puts herself in his hands completely because she had never left her country or her town where she grew up and was born. That's how much power these human traffickers, these smugglers, these caravan escorts as they prefer to be called, the caravan escorts, have over these folks. In that report, the Univision reporter does something very similar to what the Univision reporter did with that Honduran woman that sent her baby with her mother. She says, hey, a lot of people criticize you because you're putting your kids at risk. And she said, any mother would do it to give their children a better life.
Wow.
They're normalizing. Do you understand? They're normalizing the idea that any parent would do this to their children, because what we're seeing is not to be believed. You see all of these women with these little kids. You just saw those. Those are toddlers once again. And all of these people are now jumping in all of these inflatable pools and crossing the Rio Grande. They even had an octogenarian that in a wheelchair, they tossed her in an inflatable pool and they shoved her to the other side. And the people that are reporting that are on the border, a lot of them there are just putting this out for blood sport. They get off on watching the border patrol swift boats come down and pull them up out of the water. This is like gladiator shows where people jump on those things and flip around like a hamster on a wheel and run. And, except it's happening with, you know, real people and real children and real old people and real disabled people at our southern border. And there's people there that are goading these people on. I believe these people may be involved in goading them on, like the Caravan Support Network journalists, quote unquote, that I've talked to you about, that are actually helping give somebody a shove over the border. They're not just there to report and document, like they say. They're there to help. They're accomplices. These folks, in one video, Duke, I haven't looked at all of this guy's videos, but in one video, there's a guy, he gets to the river and he's freaking out because he sees it and he's like, the water, you know, how it gets really high. And it's a very tricky river. Like the currents underneath that real Bravo are very traicioneras, as we say in Spanish. They are very betraying because they may not appear like they're very dangerous, but once you're in it, they're like, they suck you under.
Oh, yeah.
The current is so strong. And this guy, he realizes when he gets there, the current is really strong and the water is very, very high. The river is risen and he gets scared. So he just sits down by the side of the river and starts crying. And the guy that's filming him is goading him on, like, like basically taunting him, like, oh, you lost your gumption there, coward. You know, I'm like, oh my God, do you want to see if the guy will die? Do you want to catch a death on film? Is that what you're doing?
Probably.
Is that what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is sick. It's disgusting. I can't believe that that people are using this as a form of sport. And it's crazy because it is happening every like, they had, how many boats did they have out there, Duke? How many inflatable pools? It's crazy.
I've seen them every day. You know,
they're like, gigantic.
And they even bring them back sometimes.
They bring them right back and use them again.
Yep.
Duke, what does this appear to be to you?
What does it appear to be to
me? What's going on?
Well, it's like there's a bunch of people cashing in. You know, and there's a bunch of people aiding and abetting. And this, you know, the flotation devices that take people across are very, very dangerous. Those things can leak really quickly. And the people filming from the shore, you can see the current. You know, this is a pretty wide river, pretty deep. They're going over right by a bridge, which causes a lot of turbulence in the water because the water swooshes around the concrete beams that are holding the bridge up. And I've seen people take the same flotation device, get people to the other side, and paddling with their hands. I'm like, how are they going to make it across? Because that current's going to take you way downstream. But the boats come out from the Border Patrol, and they basically ride up to the flotation, and they start taking people out and putting them on the boat. You know, so, and then the guy's like, okay, give me my swimming pool back. I'm going to swim back to the other side and go get some more people. I mean, it's like a circus, and it's like,
coyotes.
Oh my God. The coyotes are like, you know, cashing in.
Cashing in. And who was one of those coyotes, Luis Monsivais, who was saying, I know the best places to cross.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a money-making business. These are the Border Support Network activists openly admitting that they are smuggling people, crossing people, and they charge money for it, that they're coyotes. And they're with the Border Support Network. They're the people on this side. Folks, you think if these activists I showed you abusing these babies, if these activists didn't allow the Mexicans, the migrants in the caravan to go to the Mexican government's shelters to get aid, to get medicine, to get food, do you think that if, as I told you, many of these American activists are running underground shelters, like the one that Oscar El Blue showed you is right there by Playas, that has border angels right next to it, the embassy of the migrants, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where many people are just crossing right over the border right there? They're running underground shelters in Mexico, like the Caritas shelter that's being run by Mark Lane and Bernie Gutierrez. You think that if they're keeping kids in apartments that these Americans, unaccompanied minors, that these Americans are paying for, and other migrants, do you think they're not running those same things here in the U.S.? You don't think they have shelters here, underground shelters, along the border that they run? They probably treat people in the most deplorable of conditions. Well, you have another think coming. We have to stay ahead of these people. And if they're doing it on the Mexico side, they're doing it here, folks. And I'm going to tell you where. But this guy, Bartolo Fuentes, I want to show you. Here he is in front of that shelter, Viento y Marea. He was interviewed by these folks. He's part of this, group of caravan escorts.
Yeah.
Pueblo Sin Fronteras leaders. Denied, of course, in this interview that he had anything to do with anything like that. Those people here don't care about it. They try to put the spin in the story from these people. Here's another Bartolo Fuentes picture. Here he is sitting in front of the reporter. They try to put the spin, guys, on this story that these activists, unrelated to each other, who definitely agree they are escorts of the caravan, aren't doing anything wrong. They're not human smugglers, and they're not doing anything dangerous or criminal. They're simply trying to guide people that are fleeing Honduras, as people do, you know, and putting the spin on it that, you know, there's been caravan goers happening for decades now. Everybody knows about it. They started with the Via Crucis And nobody talked about it. But then Donald Trump became president and he started tweeting about the caravans. And lo and behold, they all started coming. Hmm. So Trump was really the first caused the caravans to come. And I was like, what? I mean, I heard this redonkulous theory expounded upon by these stupid activists in the past. But it's laughable that a Mexican reporter of Univision is talking to this Morenas, Bartolo Fuentes, and Irina Mujica, and these other people, and that she doesn't question any of it and doesn't say, are you joking? You think a tweet caused this? Okay, fine. This is Ulises Ortiz. He was the Procurador of Derechos Humanos in Honduras. Like the AG, basically.
Oh, okay.
For human rights. He was a human rights attorney, according to him, in Honduras. Hmm. Do you recognize that guy, Duke?
Hmm.
Do he look familiar to you?
He does.
Let's see if you recognize this next guy. He is... There's a picture I showed on my show.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this picture? Yeah. I got the original with the lady's face on it from the show that I did about this guy.
Wow.
The big, tall guy that I told you was smuggling people whose videos I showed on
show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
They used the same picture in Univision of the guy from his Facebook page. And the other guy in this picture is Walter Cuello. Walter Cuello was one of the two people arrested in Mexico City with the activists that we also showed on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Outside of the arena in Mexico City because they were supposedly using drugs in the open.
Oh, yeah.
And they had been kicked out of the stadium because they were breaking the rules inside the stadium and using drugs in the open. So the police went down there and they detained Walter, the one with the red hat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, Carlos David Cuevas, was deported back to Honduras, interviewed by Interpol. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I showed all of these people on my show.
Long time ago.
You're going to use the same freaking pictures and talk about the same people that I have already exposed, dressed down, showed you videos of them being traffickers and admitting it on their own live streams. And you couldn't put a single counterpoint of evidence in your reporting, Univision, to show any of that. You just left it a big these people are also accused, we don't know why.
Yeah,
nobody can figure it out. It's a, it's a mystery. Here is the post they used in the Univision reporting that was posted to this Ulises Ortiz page, his Facebook page, of him complaining about the fact that he was arrested in Mexico. And what it says is, today, a Thursday, 18 of April, federal agents and police from the Institute of Immigration, basically like ICE, detained the Honduran Ulises Ortiz for being a member of the caravan that is in Chiapas, accusing him of being the leader of the caravans. And then it says, stop criminalizing us this way, government of Andrés Manuel López Obrador. We are not criminals. We are people seeking a better future, because in our country, we can no longer live.
Wow.
We've heard that little song before.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeking the American dream. So then it turns out that we have seen this guy before. I'm going to show you where you've seen him before. If you can play the video from the Pueblo Éxodo page. Remember me talking about the Pueblo Éxodo page that was started by American activists and professional liar Jesse Sandoval, who was telling everyone in the street, all of those activists that were telling people not to go to the shelter, telling them there was no electricity, telling them there was no water, telling them that the authorities over there were going to deport them, telling them lie after lie after lie, scaring them to keep them quiet so that they would not go from the streets, so they could sit there in the sewage, in the cold, and put their families' lives at risk. Remember that woman? Mm-hmm. Jesse Sandoval. Well, here is a post from the page of this video. Sorry, where are we at? Pueblo Éxodo, Crónicas de los Migrantes. This one shows you that they're posting Ulises Ortiz Jimenez's video in which he is live streaming. This is from January of this year at the bridge between Tecunumán and Chiapas. And it says that thousands of people are in line waiting to apply for Mexican humanitarian visas. They've been waiting for more than 4 days. And this is the video in which this is the page of the guy that this is the that resolves to if you click on it. And Ulises Ortiz, if you play video scene 2B.
I don't have it. I apologize greatly.
Well, you checked him. You said you did.
This one's not in there.
Okay, you can get it. You can get it and play it from. Just play it from there, right?
Maybe.
And put it in? In the meantime, I'm going to show you, because everything about this show rests on me showing this video. So it's kind of pivotal. We really shouldn't go on further if we can't show it. By the way, I'm going to tell you, while Duke is getting that ready for us, that in the Univision video, she admits, the Univision reporter that's doing this, she admits, folks, that she had run into the same guy in different places where they were reporting about migrants in at the border in Guatemala, in the city in Piedras Negras, and also in other places in Tijuana. It's like, okay. How? Uh-oh. Something happened. You erased part of the words on there.
I have to.
Oh. And she says, yeah, we ran into him a bunch of times, but he swears that he just, knows around and is trying to help his fellow man. So,
Nope, that ain't working.
Really? Are you joking right now? Because this is the most important video.
Well, hold on. Give me a moment to try to get it to work, if you don't mind.
Okay, what I'm going to do, since... How did we miss this? Let me just grab... I apologize, folks. I should have made sure that this video was in the show, because...
Here it is.
There she is, Jessie Sandoval.
Saludos de Tijuana, hola.
Volvimos otra vez.
Volvimos otra vez después de una pequeña interrupción.
We were interrupted. You got it working.
We had some technical difficulties, and then we had an issue with the bill at the restaurant.
So they could hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just show you. There you are.
There it is.
There's the video. Go ahead and hit it play again if it allows you to.
Mm-hmm. But we ironed it out and stuff. But we cut
that's,
off.
This is the same
right
guy.
As we were talking about.
That's Ulises.
Ulises was telling us about the new rules.
See, same guy?
That are being implemented, rolled out.
You recognize him, right, Duke?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to talk a little bit about that. And then I'm going to try to translate afterwards what he's talking about. Pero vamos a volver a hablar de la señora esa hondureña que llegó ayer. There was a special guest yesterday that came to El Barretal. And they were given, the person that came is a lady. ¿Y de con quién trabaja?
Con una organización que se llama Yo Amo Honduras.
Yo Amo Honduras. Check her out on her Facebook page, because I know a lot of people know about Paloma for Trump or whatever, but this is somebody else. And apparently she is somehow related also to the current president of Honduras, who's a right-wing fascist. And this lady is on her own kind of agenda, and she has a mission. She's definitely against Honduran immigration, and she's definitely not a friend of the caravan. So we're right now trying to figure out why she was...
Do you want to know how I know that Jessie Sandoval is lying in this video?
How?
Because her lips are moving. And this is what she does all the time. Seriously, every single time she is talking, she is lying. Mm-hmm. The woman was lying about what was going on at El Barretal. She's lying about Eva Fernandez, the lady that ran for president in Honduras. Mm-hmm. I did a whole show. You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Showing her Facebook posts, publications. She has several different newsletters and publications about Honduras. She's worked with Senator Pataki's office. She's been in politics here in the United States. She's very well known. She did meet with the previous president's administration and the current president's administration to try to help people that migrate have their human rights respected and protected. Eva Fernandez, I showed you. She does not work for Juan Orlando Hernandez. She does not. She's not against migration. She actually was helping the migrants in the caravan, and they threatened her life. Pueblos Sin Fronteras thugs threatened her life. And I showed you that she filed criminal complaints against them in the United States and in Mexico. That's proof positive that she was making all of that up. And who is she lying with? She's lying with this escort. This escort that we saw here all the way back then with that first caravan that ended up going to the border, picking a fight with Border Patrol and having tear gas thrown at them on two occasions, in November and in December, on New Year's Eve. Remember that, Duke?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I showed you that Negritos Ojos Claros is his Facebook page, just so that you see. This is his Facebook page here. This is Negritos Ojos Claros. If you want to go check out and see his Facebook page that he's using. And look at his videos. Here's one of the videos from his Facebook page. This is a defender of human rights, an attorney by his own claims in Univision's report, in Univision's story, right? Procurador de Derechos Humanos en Honduras. Those of you who understand Spanish knows what that means. A human rights attorney or AG in Honduras do this to another migrant in the caravan? Here's a video from his page when they're at the Barretal, at the shelter for the migrants. Hit it, Duke. They're spit roasting a migrant. There he is. They're prostituting him. That is Mr. Ortiz pulling a migrant's head into his groin like he is forcing the migrant to give him fellatio.
Wow.
That a human rights advocate to you?
No.
Duke,
not at all.
Duke, how does Univision miss this? How is Univision so estúpidos que no pueden ni siquiera buscar en sus muros, en su video? I pulled this up. How long did it take me to pull this up today?
Oh, not very long. And we played it before, months ago. I mean, we showed this in a previous show.
They are either lazy or they are complicit. That is what I think. Here is the reporter. I went to her Instagram. Escobas is her Instagram, if you could. That's Nora Phillips she's posting about, because she interviewed her. Escobosac, Escobas C. Her name is Carmen Escobosa. This is the reporter that did this. She also interviewed Nora Phillips from Al Otro Lado. Tonight, she says, I'll be interviewing this woman who's got a target on her back. we'll ask her what she thinks. Why is she being persecuted by the American government? You know, guys, I hate to say it. I really liked Jorge Ramos. I really liked Univision. Now I know they're scammers and liars. Now I know they're scammers and liars. And in this third part of the video, they're talking to all of these escorts, EDNL, all these people that claim, oh, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. I have a little clip for you to see because this piece is super important. Listen, this is EDNL Mujica after he swears on his mother that he is not trafficking or smuggling people. Even though this report of Univision covers the watch list, the leak watch list that I've been reporting on now for months. This same Univision reporter goes and interviews the same people at the Agape shelter that I just interviewed, that I've been interviewing, that I've been talking to for months, that Oscar El Blue has been bringing you reports about. These people don't know anything other than recycling the work of Border Network News and A Mexican Crossing Line and calling it their own. Y'all are lazy and you don't even do a very good job. But so they talked about the watch list. They talked about EDNL getting death threats because somebody burned a couch outside of his apartment. Just like somebody burned a mattress outside of Carita shelter. Damn. And Pitaya used it to claim that LGBTQ people were going to get murdered at the shelter run by the people working with Al Otro Lado. These folks have got the fix in. They have the fix in. They claim, you know, fake crimes against themselves, fake harassment, fake threats, fake racism, fake hate crimes, all so that they can request asylum and say that they fear for their lives. This video has a very interesting clip of EDNL saying that he's taking a break from coyoteing for a while. Yep. It's
called jail.
No, he's got a family business to run, Duke.
I see.
He has a family business. Guess what his family business is?
Trafficking people.
Yes, that also. But no, this other business, business is his transnational, meaning across the border, tourist.
Oh, really?
Taxi travel. Yeah. He's a tourist taxi.
Interesting.
And guess at what point, guess where his business is? What border he happens to be currently crossing?
I'd guess either El Paso or Tijuana.
Nope. It's in Arizona.
Oh.
It's the same place where the no borders, no more deaths guy who got arrested and is facing a sentence of about 20 years. Look it up in the article in The Intercept. It's in that area. It's the same place where the Tohono O'odham, the ones that are working directly with Myron Duke and Myron Dewey and Evan Duke, the Antifa anarchist group working with the tribes. Go back to the blackboard with the Border Support Network. Mm-hmm. It's got two tribes listed there. One of them is the Tohono O'odham. And guess where their reservation is? It's in this area.
I see.
By Sonoita, Arizona. By Sonoita, Arizona. Listen for yourselves. Clip. He has to take care of his transport business. And Lukeville, Arizona. Sonoita, Mexico, and Lukeville, Arizona. Oh. And then he goes through, and the Univision people said, he says they always stop him and put him in secondary questioning. We're going to stay here and film the crossings to see if what happens. Sure enough, they're putting him in secondary questioning. He was there for several hours.
Oh, boy.
And he comes out and they ask him, why do you think they do this to you? And he says, he's being persecuted. He doesn't understand why. Then they talk about the burned They talk about the watch list in this reporting, if you can call it that. Here's a still frame from their own report, from their video. And here is another still frame where they hyped up the supposed attempted murder against Idinel Mujica.
Oh, yes.
Because somebody burned a couch that also partially burned the side of his van mm-hmm. outside of his apartment.
Wow.
And they also went to the Agape shelter. Here's a still frame from their video.
Mm-hmm.
You can see in the corner on the right-hand side, the watermark there for Univision.
Yep.
Because this is all from their rehashed report of my reporting with their own spin. And here's a video of the coyote at the Agape shelter. Same video that Oscar and I showed you already. Same yeah. dude. In fact, they even showed his ID.
Mm-hmm.
We showed you this before. They're so late to the game. We're in scene 5. And this is the ID that got put Oscar El Blue Ramirez put in Facebook jail, you may recall. And then we also showed you these young ladies, including this young lady who gave me an interview. You yes. remember her?
I remember her, yes.
Yeah. And the reason they went and covered all of this was to put a slightly different spin, one that Mexican Americans like me that watch Univision here will hopefully buy, which is that all these poor people are just suffering and nobody's really helping them. And these guys that are being persecuted by Mexican and American authorities they swear on their mom, they're not doing anything wrong. Let me remind you that I showed you people working with Al Otro Lado from these activist groups like Lolly B. We're posting this piece of paper. Asylum is in your hands. Which coaches people, asilo en tus manos, it says in Spanish, which coaches people on the 5 things that you need to do to pass your credible fear interview. These were littered everywhere. They were handed to the migrants at the Agape shelter by Al Otro Lado lawyers.
Hmm.
The same activists in the Border Support Network were also sharing this. I showed you Lolly B still probably has it on her wall.
Yeah.
But it's not just the bad legal advice, the false legal advice, the fake marriages, the fake ceremonies, the fake marriage certificates, the fake documents, the fake birth certificates. It's also the former felons like Louis Monsivais who are openly admitting that they are coyotes working now with these activists like Patricia Okwuemu, the Statue of Liberty climber that I showed you were in Texas, getting ready to form part of these camps that are the Border Support Network encampments along the river. Don't forget, Louis Monsivais on this day was outside in front of a giant inflated Trump wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Do you not remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that this post from Patricia Cathy here, shows you that Patricia Cathy pick with Patricia Okwuemu. She's one of the activists that was out there. And she posted this long, long post. Here are the tags of the people that were in this long, long post, in which she's talking about that trip to go and stop the empire of fascism that is Trump's administration and how they're all these great radical activists doing this amazing work. And if you scroll down, one of those activists you may recognize, Duke, is Alex Cohen.
Oh.
Remember Alex Cohen of Mississippi Stan?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Alex Cohen that was all over the Standing Rock support, that one that was putting together protests at all these different pipelines, that was later doing search and rescue in Puerto Rico, that was working with all of those frauds that were in Puerto Rico, defrauding people with mm-hmm. cold fusion.
Oh, yeah. Those guys. Yep, I remember now.
The drone pilots I recently uh-huh. showed you that all went down there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess where he's at now? He's in White Sands, Duke. He's in White Sands posing There's a picture of his nipple, Duke. I know, I apologize for this. Because he's at the White Sands National Monument getting some sun. He is always taking off his clothes. These people are like, many of them are sex workers. They love to show their naked bodies. They love to run around in short shorts. They love to go to their burners, you know? Mm-hmm. What's the name of that festival?
Burning Man.
Burning Man. And they're in this national monument, which is located in New Mexico.
I see.
What does it say there? It is exactly the
U.S. National Monument, located on the in the state of New Mexico, on the north side of Route 70, about 16 miles southwest of Alamogordo. And then it cuts off.
Yes, and I wanted you to know the location where they are, because they are they're calling out for folks to come to the borders.
I see.
They're amassing peoples at the borders. They're bringing their drone pilots. Stuff is going down, and I just showed you. It's happening in New Mexico. It's happening in Sonoita, Mexico, on the border with Lukeville, Arizona. And it's happening in Texas. Folks, this is the time for law enforcement and authorities to keep a very, very close eyes on the movements of these human smugglers and traffickers, because the activity is about to ramp up. When you see these folks headed down there, stuff's about to happen. Here's another thing that's going to happen soon. It's called, this is a post by Elizabeth Vega of Alex Cohen. Yes, Alex Cohen is beautiful at White Sands, but he is more than just a pretty face. He's working on our media campaign. And there's a picture of Alex sitting in front of his telephone in his armless vests without a shirt. This is how he typically dresses, folks. Okay. In short shorts.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All the time. This guy, you don't know what's up with it. White Sands, New Mexico. So he was at Mississippi Stand, I told you. Here's a picture of him with a lady after Mississippi Stand in a post of 2017 at a protest. As you can see, in the background, it says that there's something about the wall. No wall, no wall, no wall. So that he's already well into his anti-wall actions in this post from 2017. And he's at what university, Duke? Tell us all what university he's at. University City. Where is that? Missouri. And yeah. See, he's tagged with a woman named Charlotte, and that lady posted, or Alex posted the picture saying he was always finding Mississippi Stand comrades.
Yeah.
Notice they like to call each other comrades because they share their communist manifesto stuff, because these people are Marxist-Leninists. I showed you that Evan Duke's organization and groups, affiliations, all have these things in common, okay? Mm-hmm. Here he is with traveling with a bunch of these, anarchists, I don't know, burners.
Yeah. Ne'er-do-wells.
Where are they called, those hippie people that travel and sleep, they live tax-free in the...
Oh, like the rainbow people?
The rainbow people.
Yeah.
That's what they remind me of, dude. Oh, yeah, for real. Yeah,
pretty much.
And they're traveling to Boulder, Colorado. And this is a post dated June of 2017 near Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Hmm. And they are asking folks in Boulder, saying, folks in the environmental struggle headed your way with some Mississippi Stand and Arkansas Rising friends looking to plug into struggles. Hi, traveling activists. What's going on in your town here? We want to plug into a struggle and see what we can learn from each other. Anti-frat groups and such. We can offer nonviolent civil disobedience. We can get arrested, and we can teach you how to get arrested.
Exactly.
We can break the law, and we can teach you how to break the law, and nonviolent direct action trainings as well. Anyone in Boulder, Colorado County, water protectors?
Oh, yeah.
From Standing Rock? Because that's what these folks are. Hmm. Here he is with the Black Flag Search and Rescue Group, which we told you, all of these organizations that were out there were defrauding people, Many of them were not registered or were defunct organizations,
right. Mm-hmm.
Like the one that this one was connected to. And they were pushing all sorts of junk science and raising funds off of cold fusion and solar panels and all sorts of nonsense. And just so that you know, that Alex definitely is part of Black Flag, here's a post that he made. Oh, wait, before you take that one down, can you go to the right? So he's got a shirt that says Black Flag Search and Rescue.
Yeah.
But I want to show people he's actually in Puerto Rico. He is in Lomas, Puerto Rico in April 16 of 2018.
Okay.
I showed and proved, yes, he was there. He was doing rescue work. What is his background in medical or first aid training? None. But they don't care. That doesn't matter.
That's right.
They don't need to have that. They're not there to help anyone anyway. They're just there to raise money for their next adventure. These are professional bums. They drive around. They sleep in people's houses. They go and get arrested for causes. And people feed them. Here they are on August 10 of 2018. And he's like, look who I found in St. Louis. Never thought this reunion would happen in my city. He's from St. Louis, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Not back in Puerto Rico. He's like, I never thought I'd find people from Puerto Rico in my city of St. Louis. But here's the SAIL relief team. Here's the Black Flag Search and Rescue team. Somebody from the team drinking coffee with Edgar Oscar Ruiz in the Mocabe's Coffee House. Imagine that.
Yep.
One of the so-called locals from Puerto Rico that you were out in Puerto Rico with scamming people. Turns out he's in Missouri.
Wow.
Anyway, here is part of the group that he's in. They're in the Tornillo protest, the Tornillo occupation. You remember the people that were outside of the Tornillo detention facility in the video that you have before you?
Mm-hmm.
They were out there at night protesting, and they made the Christmas tree. They put the two dead babies on the top and as stars on the Christmas tree, and they made the Christmas tree out of slashed water bottles. You can see, if you scroll down a little bit more, you can see the water bottles that they had there in the video.
Oh, yeah.
And at the very bottom, you'll notice that this is Alex Cohen's video that he posted on December 31st of this year. And it was talking about El Paso County Sheriff's Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and Texas State Troopers all there at their protest. And at the top of this, you can see where this video was posted. This was posted in Doug McLean, the white dude that runs the Standing Rock Protectors Pipeline protest page. And he also runs Indigenous Media Rising. No, not Indigenous Media Rising. What's it called? Indigenous Media something.
Yeah.
Guys, help me. Help me, guys. Nemo, help me. What's his name? Doug McLean's organization. Doug McLean, Indigenous
Media Rising?
No, honey. It's not Indigenous Media Rising. It's Indigenous. It's the one that used to belong to it's the one that used to belong to William Hawk.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
And Nemo's not helping. Nobody's gonna help
me. No one's gonna help.
Wow, you guys are just going to sit there silently?
Well, I can't do anything about it. I'm running the slides.
Well, the page that he ran with this Gray Wolf Peruzzi, fake shaman, Italian dude, that also runs this page, this is where it was posted. This is where it was posted, in a Standing Rock Protectors page on Facebook.
I see.
And Indigenous Life Movement. Thank you, Carol.
Oh,
thank you, Indigenous Life Movement.
Thanks, Carol.
Indigenous Life Movement. Carol, I love you. Thank you. I had to wait for my audience to help me because my crew in here is like, nope, I got nothing. Not even going to try to look. Good luck. Okay, so we found out Indigenous Life Movement is run by a guy from New Jersey, a photographer. He's the one in pulling the strings. He's the one moving. He's also the one that was investigated by Homeland Security with regard to his work with the caravans. with Myron Dewey, with all of these folks. They went to the shelter, Agape. Okay, so here is the longest walk. Another thing happening right now, Duke, and it's going to happen through the summer. It's called the Longest Walk 2019. Look how they're trying to put themselves in with conversations of Mexicans and conversations of indigenous people at the southern border. Look down. It says this is the longest walk 2019. We continue from Alcatraz to Washington, D.C. And it's all in Spanish, folks. It says there. You remember when they did a walk from Alcatraz to Washington, D.C., from Washington, D.C. to Alcatraz?
Mm-hmm.
And they occupied Alcatraz?
Mm-hmm.
And it was it in remembrance of genocide?
No, it was the lease was going to be up and they wanted to take it back.
Right, but it they wanted to take back Indian land. But also, this is in commemoration of the longest walk, the walk that killed people, like, right, indigenous people being murdered on that walk, on that forced walk.
Yeah.
So this is now being equated to the genocide of indigenous people being forced to walk. And they're equating all of this around the people that are in these caravans, folks. And it says that from the 11th of February to the 15th of July, excuse me, in the area of St. Louis, this will be going on the 11th and the 12th of May. It's already happened. They will have a ceremony at the Cahokia Mounds. Look at how much indigenous stuff they're throwing all in one basket, Duke.
Oh, yeah.
On the 12th of May, they have a spiritual walk affirming the sovereignty of indigenous people and the things that they face. And this is going on the Gateway Arch on the 11th of May, and it says that the Cahokia Mounds. Put this in your library of the Valley of the Mississippi in Main Street, Collinsville. Okay? And the next slide here is of the Tornillo Occupation page. This is the page where these activists message to each other. Recently, they posted this in El Paso County Jail because they went and got arrested.
Wow.
Remember that they went and did that protest at the Border Patrol Museum and they defaced things. They damaged property. They did different kinds of defacing of different exhibits, right?
Yep.
And they're getting felony charges for that.
Wow, check it out.
So they had to all go turn themselves in and get arrested. And they posted about it saying that the four activists that had been taken into custody inside the El Paso County Jail and that they need support and they need people to share the post and they're giving updates. Prior to that, they had posted that the 16 activists from different states, including California, New York, Missouri, and Texas. We know Patricia Cuomo was in there. She even found a Statue of Liberty to stand next to. We knew that Lois Monsivais, the coyote, was in there. We know that Alex Cohen, all of these people I've showed you tonight, they were all involved in the defacing of this museum for Border Patrol agents at the border. And so they said that they protested at the Border Patrol Museum. Three individuals were charged with misdemeanor trespassing and 13 were charged with felony criminal mischief.
Yeah.
Ha ha. And the El Paso Police Department announced warrants have been issued during an April 4 press conference. And they took four activists into custody. Amanda Tello, Nicolas Cruz, Monica Chan, Skylar Ruch have self-surrendered following a march from Aztec Calendar Park. Why? Why are you going to put a bunch of non-Mexican activists and make sure you put them in front of the Aztec calendar that you can usurp the voices of real Mexicans like Oscar El Blue Ramirez, my voice, Anthony Agüero's voice? You want to take the information we are providing as Mexicans, knowing the truth about what's happening in the places where we were born, where we were raised, like in Texas, where I was born, in places in Mexico where we have lived and been raised, like in Mexico City, where I was raised, and tell us that you know more about our issues than we do. astroturfers, hijackers of the issues. Look at their fundraiser, Duke. Look at their fundraiser. This is that says donate to the Legal Defense Fund right there. And if you scroll down, there's their media contact. I bet that just goes, that email goes right straight to Alex's email. They have their media contact person. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you can see they got Jacqueline Kalmakin. Oh, you scrolled past the names I was reading.
Okay, I'm sorry.
15 Minutes of Action highlighted the stories of Jacqueline Kalmakin, the girl that died. Felipe Gomez Alonso, those little children, the migrant youth that died in crossing because of the migrant caravan escorts and organizers, because of the human smugglers, because of the people that use their children as props, and they lost their children because their children died. These people used them as ornaments, literally on the top of a Christmas tree, folks. Mm-hmm. Look at how they use the bodies of dead children to raise money for themselves. If you scroll down all the way to the bottom, you will see that No More Deaths is included in this post right there. A humanitarian organization. They were arrested for leaving water along the border. Why are they bringing this up? It's happening in the Arizona area where Irineo Mujica currently has his transportation taxi business. Where I bet you they're doing exactly what Luis Monsivais talks about, human smuggling and human trafficking for money on a massive freaking scale. And look, they have all of these others, links to other people's statements from where they were starting their march to go and turn themselves in front of an Aztec calendar. Hmm. Who's speaking on behalf of the people most affected by this migrant caravan mass migration phenomenon, who are Mexicans, and then Mexicans, and then maybe Central Americans? Let's see. Play the video, Duke. Here's a video from that.
This one right here? Credo Brown?
Yeah. Play the video. Here's the spokesperson that's going to speak for Mexicans, the most affected people. Who is it? A white trans woman. No, that's not the right video.
Ooh, I put the wrong one in.
Huh.
That's why it wasn't up there.
The video at the very end that you...
Yep.
Oh, wait. Let me show you. It's called... The screen capture is... It's a screen capture. It's called... Okay. It says white trans woman Tornillo occupation. This is... That's the fundraiser.
Okay.
Let me just stay on this for a second. If you clicked on that fundraiser link, it would take you to this. Look how much money they've raised, Duke. 14 grand, practically. It's $13,900 off of how many people? 187 contributors.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
That's incredible. Scroll down. Remember, they just put this up recently. Mm-hmm. You think that these activists aren't being funded? Look how quickly they fund the criminality of these people.
Yeah.
And then you don't even get to know who's raising the money. It's just the Tornillo occupation page, which we know is run by these activists. Mm-hmm. If you scroll down, you will see that they're talking about their El Paso Border Patrol Museum escapade. And if you scroll down and keep scrolling, you will see right there is another picture of them, because they did a protest outside the Tornillo detention facility where Patricia Cuomo climbed the fence. Remember? She was mm-hmm. there too?
Oh, yeah.
Climbing everything she could. And finally, show the white trans woman.
There we go.
This is the person that was giving a speech. She's actually singing a song there. It was horrible. I think you all would have hated me if I played it because it was so awful. It made my ears start to bleed. So yeah. I'm not going to torture you with that. Instead, I'll show you a still. A still of the person that is usurping the voice of the people most affected by these mass migrations of caravans from Central America. Mexicans, and I'll say it again, Mexicans. These people are usurpers. They're usurpers, and they don't even freaking represent the people most affected. Mexicans. In Mexico, and also here in the United States. Frankly, it is disgusting to me that they steal these issues and use them to raise money for themselves. What is Creative Brown?
See, that was in the script. That was the earlier one that I didn't have because I was here in the script.
Oh.
In the wrong place. Sorry about that.
In the wrong spot. But you did have it in there.
Yep, wrong place.
So you had it in there all along. It was just at a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
That's okay. You covered really good. You covered well.
I did. I recovered very well, didn't I?
Yep.
Anyway, anywho, folks, that's what's really happening down at our southern border with these activists. That's what they're really doing. And here's what their allies in the media are doing. They're covering for these caravan escorts that are putting the lives of migrants and children at risk and usurping and censoring and silencing the voice of Mexicans like yours truly, A Mexican Crossing Lines, with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp,
that have been bringing you the news about what's really happening at the border, what's really happening in Mexico, what's really happening with this mass migration, this use of children, this abuse of children, this human smuggling by these caravan escorts. That's what's really going on, and I hope that you share this wide and make sure that folks know we're going to continue to investigate these folks and bring you the truth here on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Keep it on this dial and thank you for listening. You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.